Thanks for listening to this podcast. For more information about the City Gate, visit www.thecitygate.org.
If you have the Word of God, go with me to the book of Hebrews, chapter 3 and verse 7 is where I'm wanting you to go. And it just simply says this, and I want to begin today because the Lord told me to speak about recognizing His voice today. It says there, today, if you will hear His voice. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm somewhat simple when I read the Word of God. I don't try to make it a mystery. I don't try to make it hard to understand. I don't believe God would have wrote us a book and made it hard for us to understand. We have the Spirit inside of us, and I believe the Word of God. And so when I read that today, and it says, today, if you will hear His voice, it poses to me a question at the least and a commandment at the most. How many of you this morning when you woke up, you set your heart to hear God? This needs to become a way of life. Let me just tell you this. When you recognize the voice of God, it will silence the words of the devil and it will neutralize the feelings of your flesh. Anybody here ever had your flesh speak? Amen. We got to enjoy a birthday gathering on Friday night, and Vicky Berry, she brought these cupcakes from somewhere. Where were they from? I can't remember. Where? Anyway, somewhere. And she had these cupcakes that were lemon delights or lemon something. I don't know, but I believe they were manna. They were straight from heaven. Amen. And in the process of these cupcake, my flesh kept saying, just eat another one. You need it. It's good for you. Amen. So you've heard your flesh. Listen, I've had my flesh quote scripture. Man, I bought me one of these Nautilus stair stepper. Can I just tell you, I call it the backside kicker. I'm just telling you, it says 14 minutes and you're going to have a body like Hercules. I'll be glad I can get up to 14 minutes on it. I want to tell you, it is something else. I mean, it's like running up with it. And I can get on there and my flesh begins to speak. It says, bodily exercise profits little. Anybody read that? Come on. But today, what I want you to get, when you recognize the voice of God, it will neutralize the words of the devil, and it will silence the feeling of your flesh. There are too many today in the body of Christ that are just being tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, because the fact is they've not got it settled in their own spirit to recognize the voice of God. I want to tell you, God wants to speak to you daily. He wants to be intimate with you. He wants to be a part of your life. He wants to partner with you. He wants to be activated through you and in you and with you. And we can only do that if we recognize His voice. I posted today on Facebook something that I say. See, I found that let me set this up. Several years ago, Cindy Jacobs came and ministered at World Overcomers Church. I think, Henry, didn't you tell me you were at that meeting? Somebody told me they were there, but she got up in the meeting there and she told them, she said, as I was flying into Memphis, the Lord showed me that there was an idol in Memphis that was worshiped. Boy, everybody got their pens out. Everybody got their notebooks out. Everybody got their iPad. They wanted this nugget that she was going to get. And she said, are you ready? And they said, yeah. And she said, the idol that is worshipped in Memphis is the Bible. Now, I want that to settle in before you start throwing stones at me. But how many of you know it's one thing to worship the Word of God, and it's another thing to live it out? Most of the people that you talk to today, it said, they'll quote it and say, well, the Bible said. It's not what the Bible has said. What is the Bible, or what is God's word saying today? Amen. In fact, He's told me, and if you'll notice, when I quote from scripture, I don't say the Bible said, I said, God is saying. His word is relevant today. It might have been written a couple thousand years ago, but I want to tell you it's relevant today. I don't care whether it's the book of Haggai or the book of Luke or the book of Acts, whatever it might be, that word that's in there is relevant today, but it's relevant because we build relationship. Now listen, too many people know the word of the Lord, but do they really know the Lord of the word? Listen, I believe in the Bible. I understand what Cindy was saying. So don't go out here and say that apostles saying we don't need to read the Word of God. You need to devour that Word of God. But one of the things, in fact, after I return, after Father's Day, I'm going to be kicking off a series that I'm working on today about learned behaviors and belief systems. You know that much of what we do in church today is simply learned behaviors and belief systems? See, Christianity is not a belief system, it's a relationship. And we have a lot of people, their only relationship, that, you know, if I only showed up every Sunday morning at 10 o'clock and spent a couple hours with my wife, that wouldn't be much marriage. In fact, I'll tell you this, years ago we got a chance to counsel with a lady that wasn't part of our church, and she came in and she said, he and I got married 6 years ago. About a month after we got married, I moved into my own bedroom. He lives in his own bedroom. I work days. He works night. He has a pickup. I have a car. He has his checking account. I have my checking account. But I've been divorced before, and I don't believe in divorce. And I looked her right in the eye, and I said, the only difference between what you have in a divorce is a piece of paper from a judge. And she didn't like it. In fact, she didn't come back for any more counseling. I wasn't counseling her to divorce him, but I was trying to help her see. See, God doesn't want that kind of relationship with you. He don't want you. He wants to be part of your life. He wants to spend time with you. He wants you to set your heart every day. You know, one of the things that I do every morning of my life, when I wake up, I say, Lord, I give you total authority in my life today. Now, can I tell you what? I believe as a believer, I believe as a son of God, I believe as a holy priest, as a royal priesthood, a holy nation, that I have authority. I believe that I can speak to things and things will happen. Listen, you can't drive in Memphis unless you believe you can speak to things and with it. I'm telling you, I have to, come on. Aren't they as crazy as I think they are? I have to prophesy to people, you won't run that red light. You will stop. Come on, we believe this, don't we? And he's given me authority, but how many of you realize that he's got more authority than you do? And so every morning I wake up and the first thing I say is, I give you authority in my life today. Let me just paint you a picture. In the garden, when God created Adam, he gave him authority. When Adam and Eve bowed to Satan, the crown of authority that they had on their head fell from their head and fell at the feet of Satan, and he picked it up. Then Jesus came along, and through his death, burial, and resurrection, I believe in the cross, but I'm glad it didn't stop with the cross. In fact, if you go back to the early church, they didn't preach a lot about the cross. They preached about the resurrection. And so he's the God of resurrection, and so through his death, burial, and resurrection, that authority that Satan had gotten because Adam and Eve were disobedient, it came back to Jesus. And then Jesus said, all authority in heaven and in earth is mine, and I give it to you. Am I, some of you theologians, am I on the scripture? He said, I give it to you. And so at that time, he gave us a crown of authority. But then there's one. See, everything God does is in a cycle. Man lays out time in a straight line, but God works by cycles. We could talk about Jubilee. We could talk about the week. We could talk about several things. But there's one more step to the cycle of God, and that's releasing the authority back to him. And so every morning I tell him that, and then the second thing is I said, Lord, I set my heart to hear you today. Yeah. I always use this. It's in my book on the prophetic. A guy is just about to give his ticket to the boarding agent in Florida to get on ValueJet. And he looked at the boarding agent. He said, I'm not going to fly today. And he pulled his ticket back. True story. And he walked out of the airport and Value Jet crashed in the swamps and everybody was killed. The interesting thing is 23 years, I think it was, prior to that, he'd been in Oregon, Portland, Oregon, I think it was, and he was about to board a plane. He felt the same unction and pulled his ticket back, and that plane crashed and a whole athletic team was killed. See, God wants us. Dawn told me about Tim. It was Tim Pinson, wasn't it? Tim Pinson, who was one of Brian's nephews, am I right? Uncle. Okay. Uncle. It just felt the other night to get up out of, to go outside of his house. And he walked outside of his house, and over across from his house on his property, he's helping a daughter and son-in-law build a house, and he heard metal rattling over there. He heard something going on over there. And so he got his nephew that was there with him, and he went driving over there, and there was a guy loading up all of the building supplies in his pickup. Going to leave with it. Now, how many of you know that unction, what I love, and Tim loves God, but what I'd love to share with him is that unction came from God. Listen, that's what God wants to do with us. He wants to live so intimate with us that he can, you know, he just felt to walk outside on his porch and he heard what was going on across the, it was far enough he had to get in his truck. And he, it was an interesting story. The guy went to drive off with the stuff and Tim jumped through the window and the guy pushed him back out and he ran over his toe. Tim's toe, and then the guy's racing away, getting away, and Tim's hollering, you're not leaving with my building material. And the guy ran into a tree and crashed his truck, and both airbags deployed. And the last time that Tim saw him, he was headed through the woods. But he called the sheriff, and I don't know whether they've caught him yet, but he's got the truck, and he got the material. I want to tell you, God is the best security system there is. Amen? Now, don't be foolish. And leave here and say, Apostle said, you know, listen, we have a security system on our house. Amen? And so, you know, we don't have that out of fear. We have that because, listen, everybody knows where I am every Sunday morning. Right? I would be easy to, but we've got security system. And besides that, I got a neighbor when he's home. I'm telling you, every time somebody comes to visit, I've never been there, my neighbor texts me. If we're not there, he said, I never seen this car in your drive with that. You know, there's a maroon Oldsmobile in your drive. And there's a little short black man getting out of it. I said, that's just Michael. That's my spiritual son. He's there. He's going to do some yard work with that. And I love that. Isn't that the way neighbor's supposed to be? Susan just went on. We've got a brand new neighbor just moved in on the other. No, they haven't moved in. They're remodeling a house on the other side. And Susan just met them. And we want to know. But what I want you to get, God wants to be intimate with you. He wants to speak to you. See, here's what I'm trying to do is disarm you. If you'll quit looking to be prophetic so you can prophesy and learn how to be prophetic as a way of life, you'll prophesy the paint off the wall. That's what happened to me. The man who had a lot of impact on my life, Don Stewart, here with us today. He was my first pastor. And I have to tell you, when I came into this prophetic, I didn't have a lot of training. I just heard God. If I heard God, I got up and said what God said if it interrupted his preaching. You know, I had to fashion this thing a little bit. I had to kind of learn some protocols and with that. But God is a God that's speaking, and he wants to speak to you on a constant basis. He can tell you things. Brandon, he can tell you the ones that's going to buy cars and the ones that's just shopping. I know, because I used to be a salesman. And I knew I'm not going to waste my, I'm nice to them and I show them car, but I'm not going to give them, you know, a whole lot of time if Holy Spirit said to me, they're not going to buy. Yeah, amen. And so whatever it is that you do, God wants to be a part of it. But see, you've got to get to that place. Now, let me ask you a question. How many of you believe that every believer hears the voice of God? Hold your hand up. Don't we believe? But how many of you understand that not every believer recognizes the voice of God? There's a different. Have you ever been there? Lord, was that you? Or was that pizza I ate last night? Anybody here have pizza dreams? Pizza words? Come on. I mean, we've all had those times when we dream something weird or something, you know, because of maybe what we're going through. Something is not, you know, not every dream. I know some people right now, they believe every dream they have is God. But when I talk to them, every dream they get's a warning. Why does God only have to give us warning dreams? He gives me encouraging dreams. Yep. Amen? Sometimes I'm just having fun in the dream. In fact, I dreamed this dream. I know a place I used to hunt way in the middle of 40,000 acres of wood. And I used to go into there. And I dream about this place every once in a while. And I told Susan this week, I said, man, I've had just such a hankering to get a backpack on and go back into there and just hunt that place. You know, just go back where I did. I hunted that place from the time I was about 6 years old to I was probably 27 years old. I mean, I'm with it. And it's just, I don't know why I dream about it. But it's always a good dream. Because I used to love to just go into that. I mean, nobody, you couldn't hear any sound of humanity. And I, you know, sometimes, I wouldn't even say, but I'd sit by a tree. And can I tell you what? I really believe I was communing with God, but I didn't know who God was with that. But there was a presence there. It was during some of the time when my mother and dad divorced. And some of the time when my dad was fighting alcoholism so bad. It was my place of escape. I found a grace there. I didn't know it was grace, but I found a grace there. But what I want you to catch today is I believe we are moving into a time in this nation that being prophetic must become a way of life. Let me share something with you. If the prophetic is about hearing from God, not just speaking for God. You know what I just told you? Every Baptist is prophetic. Every Catholic is prophetic. Every Lutheran is prophetic. Every Pentecostal is prophetic. You know, we've got to understand when we set our heart to recognize God, when we set our heart to be obedient to what God is saying, then we set our heart to move into that place. I want to go back to the first scripture I gave you in the book of Hebrews. Today, if you will hear his voice. Can I share something with you? Someone asked me one day, said, tell me one key of how you develop to recognize the voice of God like that. Let me tell you what I would tell you today. I didn't answer this person with this answer, but this is what I tell you. You got to be willing to hear him tell you the things you don't want to hear. Some of you have heard this, some of you hadn't. I was in Nottingham, England back in the 90s. I just spoke in the largest conference that I'd ever spoken at that time. I brought what men said was an incredible word. I feel it was too. But I mean, they were patting me on the back. That's something, you know, you need to write a book on this, da 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 da. All of this stuff. You know, this was probably about 93 or 94. That's been quite a while ago. And with that, and that night, I was sitting on the front row beside Susan. A friend of mine out of Canada was speaking in the conference, and he even had referenced my word two or three times. Now, I'm from Arkansas. Anybody here from Arkansas? Wow, I'm the only person besides Susan. Oh, Vicky's from Arkansas. Dawn was born in Arkansas. But anyway, people from Arkansas have egos. Okay? I don't know if you know that. She's not from Arkansas. Anyway. And God spoke to me sitting right there on the front row, and this is what he said. He said, Clay, I mean, every time my friend Bob Seymour would mention my name, my head would, you know, if you think I was born into the ministry perfect, you've missed it, okay? I had to grow through some things. But the Lord said to me, he said, Clay, on your best day, you've not helped me much. Woo! You ever heard that? You ever read that scripture, lo, I'm with you? Well, he brought me low, and I'm glad he was with me that day. And I fell off the front row. I fell in the floor. I'm on my knees. I'm crying. I got great green gobs of excretions coming out my nose. I mean, I'm serious. You know, I mean, it broke my heart what he revealed. Because it felt like he came and gave me one right in the belly, and I'm there. And then he said to me, he said, but on your best day, but on your worst day, you've not hindered me a bit. I mean, it was like he gave me a karate chop right behind the neck, the head, right on the base of the neck. And I mean, I just cried. Bob Seymour's looking at me like, what's wrong? What did I say to make him do that? And Susan's wondering what. You know, they didn't hear that. See, if you want to recognize the voice of God, you got to be willing to hear those things. I was sharing with Dr. Bill Lovick, who I call one of the men who really had a lot of spiritual input into my life, about this word. Him and I were together, and I was sharing, and he said to me, he said, buddy, you know the God I know. He said, you know what he told me? And I said, no, Dr. Bill. And he said, you know, and this is true, Pat Robson gave Dr. Lovick a check for $10 million for Lovick Ministries when he sold the Family Channel. And he said, buddy, I was talking with God, and I said, God, why'd you wait till this old man's body was wore out to give him everything he ever prayed for? And you know what he said to me? I said, no, Dr. Bill. He said, Bill, I can finally trust you with it. See, when you recognize the things of correction, when you recognize the things that will challenge your heart, when you recognize the things that God wants to say to you in that manner, it opens you up for the other things. I love it when he encourages me. I remember one morning I drove in, got home about 3 o'clock in the morning, and slept later than I intended to. And in those days, I was legalistic about getting up and spending time with the Lord. And I overslept my time and with that. And I mean, I woke up almost in a frantic. I felt condemned because I hadn't gotten up and prayed like I intended to. And the Lord said, it's okay, son. You needed your sleep. Whew. Man, that was a great day. See, that's how he wants to be intimate with you. He wants to relate to you on every possible aspect of your life. He can tell you little things that will just make your life better. He wants to encourage you. He wants to be like a little child learning to ride the bicycle. You ever, you think about it, your mom or dad, you know, I remember our son Dean, when he was learning to ride the bicycle, you know, I'd try to go right along beside him. You know, it had training wheels on it at first, but, you know, you don't adjust training wheels all the way down. You adjust them a little bit high so they got, I didn't want Dean to fall over. And then finally he learned to ride his bike without training wheels. And we were over at the Susan's mom and dad's house, the Riffey's house, and Dean was going to show it, and he went down to the end of the drive, and he turned around, and he was on that bike, and he had his head down, like he was paddling as hard as he could. He was showing us how fast he'd go, and plowed right into the RV trailer sitting in their drive. And he was so embarrassed. But Dad was there, and Mom was there, and we were there to encourage him. That's the God. Now, let me share something with you that will help you. Religion, when Cindy talked about the Bible being an idol, it's because people have become religious with things. Here's what religion does. Religion wants you to believe that if God took you to this park, I've used this illustration many times, and in this park there's a lake, and right at the bank of the lake, the water is 10 foot deep. There's no shallow. I mean, if you fall in, it's over your head right at the head. And then in this same park, there's a railroad track that comes through. And every 30 minutes, a train comes through at full speed. Religion wants to say to you, now, Brandon, this is your park. I want you to have a good time. But don't go near that old dangerous lake. You know, just a month ago, 2 kids drowned in that lake. And, oh, Brandon, don't get near that railroad track. That train comes through every 30 minutes at 60 miles an hour. And kids are killed on that railroad track all the time. So don't go near it. See, that's what religion will do. That's not, nothing about that is relational. That's called the gospel of fear. Well, you're getting quiet on me. You're tightening up. I'm trying to help you understand. But let me tell you how Father God wants it to be. He wants to be your father. He wants to have a relationship with you. He wants to speak to you on a daily basis. And he carries Brandon down the same park. He said, Brandon, here's your park. Go have fun. He didn't mention the railroad track. He didn't mention the lake. But let's say Brandon gets a little close to the lake. He come back near Daddy. Get near the railroad track. Come back near Daddy. See, he wants to have that into. Isn't that a lot better than just being all these warnings of what you can't do? Can I tell you what? When I got born again, he didn't give me a bunch of things I couldn't do. Can I tell you what happened? a lot of things I used to do, I didn't want to do anymore. I like, you know, before I was saved, I woke up feeling bad about every morning. If you have to have an interpretation of that, you were born saved. But I would drink myself into oblivion every night. And I didn't have to do that anymore. I didn't need medication of alcohol because he took and lifted from me the burdens. He lifted me up out of the pit I'd been in. And he put my feet on a firm foundation. What I want you to catch today is he wants you to recognize his voice. See, can I share something? You know one of the problems in America? We don't have enough people that recognize his voice, not only for themselves, but for others. I think about the lady. Some of you heard me tell this story. I pull up to Kroger one Sunday morning. Fog is real heavy. I'm headed to Oxford to minister on recognizing the voice of God. And a woman pulls in. I mean, it's like 7 o'clock in the morning, 7:30 in the morning. And this lady pulls in on the other side. And I hear Holy Spirit speak and said, tell her he will call. Now, can I just share with you? I've been walking this thing out so long now, when he tells me, I don't hesitate. So I stepped around the pump. I said, ma'am, you don't know me. I'm a minister of the Lord. And he just spoke and told me to tell you something. I want to tell you, she looked like the eyes of a deer in the headlights. She's going, what kind of nut is this? God's talking to you about me? She didn't say all this, but I could see it in her face. And he said, tell you, he will call. She got this perplexed look on her face. I stepped back around where my truck was being filled with gas. I'm continuing pumping. I mean, I'm no more back around on the other side of the pump, and I hear her cell phone ring. And she said, where are you? I mean, she didn't answer hello. She said, where are you? Where have you been? And they talked a little bit, and she said, I'll see you at the house in about 15 minutes. She got off the phone. She stepped around, and she said, I don't know who you are, but that was my husband. He got off work Tuesday, and he hadn't been home since Tuesday. He's been telling me he was just going to abandon me. We've been having a marriage problem. She said, sir, I don't know who you are, but I came here to put gas in my car. Just enough gas to get to the Mississippi River. I was going to drive in the river and take my life. I've not heard from her since. I don't have any history to go with it. But I want to tell you, God impacted her that day. Now, here's my question to you in recognizing the voice of God. Did God know the exact moment when that husband was about to call and put me in the right place at the right time to speak that? Or did God need a servant like you or I to speak it so that he could release the angels to work on that man to call? See, here's what else she told me. He got off work on Tuesday, went by the casinos and lost 2 weeks' paycheck. Lost everything. He was ashamed to come home. But yet God, see, God is waiting on you to recognize his voice and be obedient to what he's saying so he can impact. I could tell you about the story where I was in a Walmart. We were there to get batteries. I had my youth pastor with me. We split up. I hope nobody works in Walmart, but you never know where the batteries are. Okay, I said, you get batteries, I'll get batteries. We were headed to a service. We was running tight on time. We was headed to Lexington, Tennessee to a service there. And I go down this aisle and I come by this woman, young woman. And the Lord said, tell her I love her very much. But she's not pregnant, but she needs to quit fornicating. Now, I don't know about you. I have this real direct relationship with God. We just talk things through. I said, God, you need to tell her because she can't slap you. He said, I'm going to through you. So I go and get my youth leader. And I say, hey, Hershey, I want you to come with me. And no matter what happened, don't leave. And he said, no, I ain't about to. He said, I've been with you. You fixing to become a prophet in Walmart. And we're going to get in trouble, aren't we? I said, I hope not. And we went back to this young woman. I just eased up to her and I said, look, I'm a minister. God spoke to me. I need to share something with you. And the first thing I said, he wants you to know he loves you very much. Boy, I had her attention. Then I said, but he also wants you to know you're not pregnant, but you need to quit fornicating. She just broke and started crying. I asked her, I said, can we pray for you? And
took her hand.
And I just reached out and touched her on the shoulder and started to pray, and she fell out in Walmart. I remember, listen, this was years ago. I remember, I looked at my hand, I thought, wow. This stuff works in Walmart. I'd seen it work in the church services. When she got up, she said to us, and she didn't even know what had happened. I've never fainted like that. We led her to the Lord. She got born again. Can I tell you what she confessed to? She was there to buy a pregnancy kit. She went home, moved the boyfriend out. I used to get cards at least once a year from her for several years after. She was teaching Sunday school. See, it's not about the signs and wonders. It's not about the word I gave her. It's not about the manifestation of the Spirit when she fell under the power of God. It's about the fruit of a changed life. Amen. Some of you are the agents of change. You're carrying a word like these for people, but you've got to get to that place that you can recognize His voice. Let's talk about some ways that He speaks today. How about an unction? See, the other night when Tim Pinson went outside of his house, he had an unction. I haven't talked to him, but I bet if I talked to him, I think he said to whoever told Don, you know, he just felt like he had to go outside. Anybody here ever just felt like he had to get up and pray? You know, felt like he just got to get up and, you know, get a word. I remember one night, I got this word. I heard the Lord speak this word to me. It was not a word that was in my vocabulary. And I later on, I woke up Susan and I said, do you know what the word superfluous means? I mean, have you ever heard of the word superfluous? And she said, oh, yeah, it's in the Bible. I said, really? And she said, yeah. I said, somewhere in Leviticus, I think. And so I went and got my concordance. Those days, you know, we had a concordance about this big. You know, I mean, you know, everything's in the computers today. But I went and got my concordance, and I went through there. I finally had to wake Susan up a second time. I said, how do you spell it? She gave me just enough that I found this word and looked it up, and it's actually one of the qualifications of a priest. You can't have anything superfluous. How many of you know Goliath had something superfluous? He had six, you know, one thumb and five fingers or six fingers, you know, depending on which school of thought you're on. Anything that draws attention to man and not to God, that's what he wants. God is wanting us to be pure in our ministry. How about this one? God speaking through dreams. I love when Vicki Billman teaches. Just met a lady and she's wanting to know. She's of a denomination that just doesn't practice recognizing the voice of God or prophecy. And I gave her my book. I sent her my book. I sent her some CDs and sent her Vicki's about dream. How many of you know God wants you to properly interpret your dreams? I've never seen the people that have dreams and they just naturally think they're bad. You know, God's a good God. I got news for you. The word gospel means good news. The gospel is good news. It's not bad news. Amen? We are so prone for the bad news. Listen, I just believe it's going to work out. You know, when those airbags deployed the other night, it worked out for Tim Pinson. The guy didn't get away with his material. Tim wasn't hurt severely, even though it ran over his toe. I mean, there are a lot of things. God works on our behalf. Can you say amen? Amen. But he won't. How about this one? Here's a way that God really loves to speak today. In Psalms 34 and verse 7, it says, or is it 37 verse 4? Anyway, it says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. See, if you're in the altar, hyper faith camp, you think that, you know, you can name it and claim it and grab it and blab it and all. That's not what it's saying. What it means is the word delight means to make yourself pliable. How many of you ever had Play-Doh when you were growing up? I still like Play-Doh. I like the way it smells. I mean, I've got a little child in me. Amen? But how many of you remember if you ever left it out? And it got hard. It was no longer contrite. It was no longer pliable. It was no longer moldable, shapeable. Are you hearing me? But it says, delight yourself. In other words, make yourself pliable. Make yourself moldable in the hand of God. Because Ira Blackman here is one of the, I mean, he is such a man of humility and such a man of surrender and such an encourager. But what it means is because his heart is pliable to the Lord, God's able to reach into his heart and put desires in there. Amen. There are things that, you know, I want to say, I'm really petitioning God for a lot of the bikers to get born again this year. I mean, just really, you know, I mean, some of you know, just a few years ago, I led one of them to the Lord who was actually thinking about, his wife had left him and run off with his best friend, and he was thinking about killing both of them. And I was able to lead him to the Lord, and he got away from all that. I mean, that's God, isn't it? But see, God wants you to be pliable. He wants to be able to reach into to Jerry's heart or Pastor Betty Walker's heart and just put desires in there. That's one way he speaks today. How about this? How about him speaking through peace? See, some of you praying, seeking a word about what to do, and he's just giving you peace. Amen? Can I put you two on the spot? Did he come? Did the Lord Jesus Christ walk into y'all's bedroom and say, it's time to adopt two more children?
No.
Okay.
Would be nice.
Yeah, would be nice. But that desire started surfacing. Maybe in you first being the mother and you came to him or vice versa, however it worked. And that desire comes forth and you just knew that the timing was right. And y'all begin to pursue this, the adopting of these children. And, you know, you're still in holding pattern. But can I got a word for you. The Lord said, don't worry about the holding pattern. You're circling. You're going to land. And the plane's got plenty of gas to keep on circling until it's time. I was sitting on my patio this morning. And I was thinking about, you know, how, because y'all want this. Mm-hmm. Because God put this desire in your heart. And how hard it is right now. You know, it's like you're hung in limbo. You're wanting these children. You feel that you've got a word from heaven about which two. But it hadn't worked out yet. But see, God said, just trust him. Just hold on. You're going to get there. And that's the way he wants to work with us. See, can I share something with you? Don't make this thing hard about recognizing the voice of God. Just fall in love with him. Just surrender to him. Just give yourself to him. Just be intimate with him. Just make time for him. And he will speak. I wish I could tell you. I mean, can I give glory to the Lord by sharing something with you? Susan, I want you to verify this. Strong, you know. We're getting ready for bed the other night. It was a Wednesday night. This was probably about a month ago, maybe a little bit longer. And, you know, on Wednesday nights, they do the Powerball lottery and the numbers. And it came on. And the Lord said the Powerball number will be, you remember what it was, Susan? Now 21, I think it was. Whatever it will be. He spoke to me. Said the Powerball number will be this number. And I turned to Susan and I said, when it comes out, the Powerball number is going to be this number. Now you finish the story.
It was.
Now, number one, you don't win on one number. You don't win anything. Number two, he told me just a few seconds before it was drawn, I didn't have time to run out and buy a ticket. Number three, I don't understand why he does this stuff, but I've had him share a lot of things. I remember one night I was laying in bed years ago back in the 80s, and the Lord spoke to me. He said, Dorothy Stewart, your wife, Don's wife, is going to call us. I told Sidney, Dorothy's about to call. I remember one night we were laying in bed, and the Lord spoke to me and said, your son is in trouble with the sheriff's department. We laid there about 10 minutes. In those days, we had caller ID on the home phone, and it came through DeSoto County Sheriff. Dyer County. That was in a Dyer County Sheriff. I picked it up, and they said, do you have a son named Robert Dean Nash II? I said, I do. And said, well, he's in our presence. And I said, how bad is it? And he said, well, if you'll come get him, it's not going to be bad at all, because we know who true story. We know who you are in the community, and you do so much for the community. We're going to honor who you are for your son. They'd called him and his best friend. They were about 15 or 16 sitting on tailgate of a pickup enjoying something that only adults should drink in moderation. Did I do well enough with that? Okay. Just trying to be real with you. And so I went and picked my son up, and, you know, Susan went with me, and we got his truck home. God can speak these things. You know, I know the story about one night a mother fell out of the bed on her knees about 10 o'clock at night. Her daughter's curfew was like midnight. Her daughter came in about 11. Went by her mother's room, the light was on. She said, "Mom, you up?" And she's what? And she went in there and said, "Mom, about an hour ago, were you praying for me?" And the mom said, "Yeah." She says, "Mom, I got myself in a very compromising position, and I was about to give away my virginity. And all of a sudden, I felt your prayers. And I pushed back, and I said, no, this is not right. And I had the young man bring me home." Listen, mamas, we need to recognize his voice. We need to know those unctions. We need to know those impressions. We need to have those dreams. How about this vision? Anybody? How many of you here are people that have vision? I'm not talking about having a vision that God, but an actual, there's two types of visions I've experienced. I've had a vision that plays out like almost like a TV camera. I see it out here with my eyes like this. It's real. In fact, I'll share one of them with you. I was in Lake Havasu, Arizona. Chuck was in the service. I don't know if Britt was there on that one, but Dodie and Jim was there. I'm sure Steve was there. And all of a sudden, I had this vision. The back of the church, it was like an explosion. I thought it happened. I thought a bomb went off. And the back of the church blew out. And I could see the cars parked behind the church. I mean, I could see into the parking lot. It's as real as Deborah is to me. It's as real as Ira and Francine. I could see it. And all of a sudden, I saw an Aboriginal from Australia. And he was dressed just like somebody from the outback. And he had a red bandana around his head. And he walked in and he kept throwing this boomerang. And the boomerang would come back and land, you know, he would catch it or it'd land at his feet. And he would pick it up and look at it and examine it like something was wrong. And I mean, just as quick as the vision came, it left. It was I call these open vision. And later I was talking with Chuck, and God spoke the interpretation to the vision I saw. He said, a boomerang is not made to come back. It's a weapon. It's made to hit the mark. And when a boomerang doesn't hit the mark, it comes back to your feet or comes back to you. And God spoke to me out, and he said, that's what reason I've not released signs and wonders in this nation is because the church plays with them like they're a toy rather than using them like a weapon. Can I tell you, we're still at that place. That was years ago in Lake Havasu, but we're still in that place today. The second vision is what I call closed vision. It's when it happens in your mind. You just see it in your mind. You see something there. Is this helping? You see this. It's real to you. You see something. You just know that it's that way. But I want to share something with you. Can I tell you, people who have wrong imagery in their mind have difficulty having open visions or closed vision. Let me just tell you, some of you have the, we have people visit here from time to time, our services, and they have an imagery of how church ought to be. And when it doesn't meet their imagery, they're out the door. Let me just share something with you. I don't apologize for this. We're here. We're seeking to establish a family here. We want each and every one of you to be part of that family. But let me tell you, once you're part of the family, here's my job. I'm going to turn you into a good soldier. And if you're not willing to war and you're not willing to be a good soldier, you probably won't make it with us. Not that you're bad. It's just that my call to the body of Christ is to raise up a marching army. I'm telling you, our nation is going to hell in a handbasket. And let me just tell you, the problem is not the senators in Washington, D.C. The problem is not the government. The problem is not even the devil. The problem is the church is weak and sitting on its backside when we ought to be delegating and declaring and legislating heaven's will into the earth. We can change it. You know, one of the first times I ever knew of God healing the land was there at Brinkley years ago. Don, you probably remember this, but out west of Brinkley, Arkansas. Brinkley's at the 216 mile marker, somewhere about the, 210 or something out there, maybe a little less than that. There were accident after accident after accident after accident. There were two state troopers killed a year apart within 100 feet. They were out riding a ticket on the side of the road. The one guy dropped his Bic lighter and leaned over to get it and ran off the road and hit the state trooper. I don't remember what happened on the other. There was a road crew. I lost a good friend in this one, a road crew. Had the road blocked, and somebody, a truck driver, never checked up and ran in and hit a dump truck and drove it into the road crew, which was working in front of it, and killed a guy that I knew, one of the best mechanics I ever knew that was there. His dad was a great mechanic. And so there was death after death after death after death. Can I tell you what we found out since? Well, I'm going to finish the story. In a Baptist church, Broadmoor, is that the name? Broadmoor Baptist, got together. They're from Brink, Arkansas. And they went out and had a prayer meeting there one day and did some things out there. The death stopped. Now, let me tell you what we've also found out since then. Right across the road from where all those deaths, right in that area where those deaths, there's a hanging tree where they used to take and hang people. See, when innocent blood is shed upon the land, it gives the right for evil to manifest itself. And it was a bus ran off the road, and I don't remember 10 or 12 killed, I think it was. I don't remember all the details of it, but I'm telling you, but they went there and they purified the land through repentance. They purified the land through decoration. They legislated heaven's will into the earth, and something shifted. Are you hearing me? There's much work to be done. It's very much the time that we need every one of you to recognize the voice of God. You need to recognize it. God is speaking. He will tell you just where to be. He'll tell you, you know, when to be there. The steps of a righteous man are appointed of God, but you're going to have to recognize his voice to be able to be. When I'm talking about his voice, it's not that he's going to say, Jerry, get up, drive down, get well road. It can be you just, he'll lead you just one turn at a time, and he'll carry you. Let me give you one other. You know how God wants to speak today, or does speak today? Through his word. I'm going to go back and balance out what I said about it being an idol. Don't make the word of God of an idol. You know how people tell me all the time, well, brother, you're going to have to show me that in the Bible before I'm going to believe it. You know what goes off inside of me? The Holy Spirit said, religion, religion. Let me ask you this. So I asked him. I said, okay. Then can I ask you? I said, you ever led anybody in a sinner's prayer? Oh, yeah, I've led hundreds of them. I said, can you show me that in the Bible? Please keep on leading them in a sinner's prayer. But, you know, not everything we can do, we can find in perfect clarity in the Bible. But yet we do that. How many of you noticed the way we take communion today? We've got this little bitty cup. This little bitty cup and this little bitty wafer. Right? This cup is grape juice. Now, I've had the Lord's table with real wine. I've done it with a common cup. Church of 300 in Nottingham. They pass the cup by everyone. But let me just quote to you scripture. I'm not going to. But in 1 Corinthians 11, Paul wrote them and he said, I want to talk to you about the Lord's table. And he said, it seems to me that when you're gathering to partake of the Lord's table, some of you are eating too much and getting drunk. Off one of these? Mm-mm. Now, do I believe this is unscriptural to take the Lord's table this way? I've taken it with good Russian coffee and good Russian bread, with making covenant with men of God over there. I've taken it with other things there, with it. It's not about this cup. It's about the symbolism of this cup. Are you hearing me? But what was the Lord's table and to partake of, can't we say it's transitioned a little bit? I mean, I don't think anybody's going to get drunk off one of these, even if it was wine. And you're sure not going to overeat one of these pieces of bread that's in here. Amen? I don't even think there's any calories. I believe this is the one thing. I'm not talking about the juice. I'm talking about this wafer is the one thing that you can probably eat that has zero calories. All right. Amen. But yet the religious wants the word of God speaks today. And God wants to lead you with it. And he wants to, but he doesn't want us to just be able to quote it. He wants us to live it out. He wants us to be real. He wants us to be intimate with it. See, belief systems create learned behaviors. But intimacy with God and relationship and intimacy with God produces life. If it comes down to, anybody here ever went through some kind of learned behavior and it didn't produce? See, a lot of people still tithe today because it's a learned behavior. It hasn't become a way of life. Every believer hears the voice of God, but not every believer recognizes the voice of God. Can I carry it one step further? I believe every man, woman, and child on the earth. I don't believe you have to be a believer to hear the voice of God. Amen? Because let me tell you my last way that God speaks. There's many more. It's all in the book that I wrote. It's all in the syllabus that we have and with that. But this is just one more. Okay? How about conviction? Amen? So, isn't God able to convict a person who's not born again? Conviction is what brought me to God. How many of you realize? Conviction is what God does. Repentance is what we do. And the both together give us redemption. Amen? Conviction is what God does. And repentance is what we do. And when they both come together, we get redemption. I've been redeemed. You've been redeemed. Conviction. What are the things God's convicting you of? You know, one of the things we're losing in America, we're losing in the church in America, the convicting power of God to live by convictions. I'm amazed at the people that believe they go to church every Sunday, believe they can live any way that they want to. You know, I'm surprised at the people that believe that when they've been wronged, it gives them the right to violate God's word. They're upset that somebody wronged them by violating God's word, so they go and violate God's word to get back at them. It doesn't work. Whatever you sow, you'll reap. I close with this. One of the reasons we've got to press into that place of recognizing the voice of God is because we've got to begin to discern between reaping what we've sown and the judgment of God. See, there's a lot of people calling things that are happening today in the earth the judgment of God. But how many of you know, let me paint you a picture. I go out tonight in foolishness and I overindulge in alcohol. And on the way back to my house, I'm driving under the influence of alcohol and I have a wreck. I turn my vehicle over. And in the process of it turning over, I've got the window down and this arm is just mangled and with that. And they rush me to the hospital and my arm is so bad they have to amputate my arm. And tomorrow I wake up. I come out of my, drug-induced, whatever they did to sedate me, and I wake up and I realize what had happened. I remember that I'd been drinking. I remember having a wreck. And then I look and I discover that my arm, and I cry out to God, God, I'm sorry. I was so foolish for abusing alcohol. I'm so foolish for taking my life and maybe even somebody else's life. And I'm so sorry that I did this and I've lost my arm. Now, how many of you believe that you're forgiven when you ask Him to forgive you? So the judgment is not the fact that my arm was amputated. It's just simply the fact I reaped what I sowed. It's not God judging me. But yet today we've got a lot of people wanting to speak that God is judging certain situations. you know, about it, and rather than understanding, you reap what you sow. If you sow hatred, you get hatred back. If you sow discontent, you get discontent back. If you sow friendliness, you'll make friends. If you sow peace, you'll have peace back. You'll reap it. So I close in saying this. I'm gonna ask you to a favor next tomorrow. Excuse me. Tomorrow is June the 1st. June has 30 days. The military says it takes 30 days to develop a new habit. Looked it up. It said within 30 days. One report said 28 days. Another said 30. Let's take the month of June and set our heart to hear God every day. Can we do that together? Can I tell you what? The power that will be released from this group of people throughout the Mid-South, throughout wherever you're from, will be so incredible. It can be the result of the beginning of God pouring out His Spirit in a whole new way. There are people that need to hear from you. There are people that need encouragement. There are people that need a prophetic word, but you can't give it. So we've got a lot of people running around prophesying, but they've never heard anything from God. Anybody here ever got one of those words? You know, I mean, I've had people tell me things, and I knew when they told me it wasn't God. And can I tell you, I've had people tell me things I didn't think was God, and it come to pass. Okay? So we've got to recognize His voice. You know, another way He speaks is through people. He even spoke one time through a donkey. You might be somebody's donkey. Smile. You might, to them. I rejected a word years ago. Susan was standing there when the guy prophesied it. But I'm telling you, it came to pass. I got arrogant with him. I said, you've missed God. None of this is going to happen. Da, 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 da. Every bit of it. Well, not everything he said, but everything he spoke to us happened to us. For that. See, I believe God tested me in the situation. Stand to your feet. We don't impose this on you, but will you set your heart over the next 30 days to fine-tune yourself to recognizing His voice? I don't know how well I've preached. I'm not talking about the preaching, but I don't preach these type messages unless when God gives me this. I believe we're going into a season. I think it's expedient to recognize His voice all the time. That's the way I live. I wouldn't be going to Arizona if I didn't know that God wanted me to be there. Are you hearing me? But I believe something, and I'm not talking about something bad, but I believe there's a wave of the glory of God coming as we press in to recognizing His voice, that as we fine-tune, as we tweak ourselves. Actually, what I believe He wants to do, I think some of us have, but some of you are going to move from analog to digital. Let me explain. The old radios, how many of you remember when you had a tuning knob? The actual term for that is a frequency oscillator. How many of you remember, you know, you had it at night, the waves changed a little bit, and you had to turn it just a little bit and pull that station back in and get with it. But today, we've gone digital, so you just punch in the exact frequency, and it doesn't do what it used to. But see, some of you are still operating on old methods and old ways, and God's wanting to transition you over into digital. When you move into digital, you stay in constant communication with Him. Let me share one other thing I just thought of. Prayer is just simply a biblical word for communication. Prayer is not a one-way thing. Let me ask you this. I'm going to put you on the spot right here, okay? No, you're going to be fine. You're going to be fine. You pray?
Yes.
Okay. Which voice in your prayer closet is more important or more significant, yours or His? His. It's great to pray. It's great to tell Him what our needs are. We need Him to touch your sister. When I saw that report come, I can't imagine what you feel, Hope. Because I remember her, but I don't know her. I mean, I think that would be, never really interacted, but it broke my heart. We're losing so many good people to cancer and premature death, and it broke my heart. But can I tell you what the answer is? The answer is what he says about this situation. We can pray and we can do. I declared with every bit of faith that was in me a while ago. But at the end of the day, what's he saying? I mean, you just walked this through with your dad. I mean, not trying to stir your emotion, but you'd love for him to still be here. I'd love to have met him, with that. I believe had it been extended, I would have, because I'm getting to know y'all. But see, it's important. But what we've got to understand is what she said. Prayer is not just about telling God your needs. It's not just about bringing your petitions boldly before the throne of grace. But it's about hearing his wisdom so that you can see your needs met. Father, I bless your people today. But I bless them with a hunger, a diligence, and an intentional reality to recognize your voice. Father, I declare, this is what I hear God say, I declare that the word is going to sweep the Mid-South and say, everybody at City Gate's prophets. Now, I want to do a disclaimer. I'm not calling you into the office of prophet, but I believe anybody can hear is a prophet. So I just declare over you that the word's going to go out of here, that group, that family, that army, that assembly of people are so recognizing the voice of God that they need to be listened to. We're not going to build a ministry with this. If you want it to build a ministry, then you're disqualified. What we're going to do is we're going to do it to lift him up that he can draw all men unto him. So, Father, we just declare that over your people. And we declare clarity to recognize your voice, clarity to be obedient, clarity to speak for you once you've spoken to us. And I just release a peace over your people to be able to move in and engage this and activate it to a whole new level. I declare your people will recognize so that your voice, Lord, so that it will neutralize the words of the devil and silence the feelings of their flesh. And I bless them now, and I send you forth blessed today in Jesus' name.